Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. We've heard and seen, read these scriptures 100,000 times. But I've got something to bring to you today. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. And in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. It would seem to me that if a king could besiege and overtake Jerusalem, we are very vulnerable. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God, little g. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had an ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach and learning, teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine in which he drank, so nourished them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You should understand, these was young men that had been taken captive, displaced out of their land into a different land. These were young men. I consider these perhaps teenage age, maybe a tad older. So I challenge our youth here today, boys and girls alike, that God has a special place for you in His kingdom. And there ain't no man, there ain't no king, and there ain't no devil in hell can stand against you as you commit and dedicate your heart and life to God. Amen. Verse 7, unto whom the princes of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, the name of Hananiah Shadrach, the name of Meshach, and the name of Azariah Abednego. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I would like to title my message this morning, Who Am I? Where am I? Where in the world am I going? Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. Sure we have. There are times in our lives that circumstances leave us overwhelmed and confused, that we hardly know who we are, where we're at, let alone where we're going. But understand that our decisions and our actions can and will determine how we act, where we're at, and where we're going. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign in Judah. His tenure of that reign was 11 years, and the Bible tells us that he did not follow after God. In fact, it is recorded that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 36. Also, we find in 2 Kings chapter 20 that Isaiah had already pre-prophesied of Hezekiah. I guess prophesied is pre, huh? So prophesied to Hezekiah. Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah that there was coming a time when Babylon would come and enter their house and carry it away and make their sons eunuchs. So can you imagine maybe a little bit of what Daniel and his three friends was going through at this particular time? They felt like that perhaps that God had turned their back on them, maybe just a little bit, but we will find out that's not the case. But we probably would. What they was going through, their lives was being turned upside down by an invader. As they was invaded, as they was kidnapped, as they was taken to a foreign land where all the rules were totally different from where they were. Where they was spoken a different language, and the people there didn't even serve the same God that they knew, the God of the Hebrews. So with that being said, that I'd like for us to look at the tactics and the procedures that Nebuchadnezzar used to get his purpose in his country, in his will, to change the landscape of that culture. Let's look at and see what Nebuchadnezzar used on Daniel and his three friends to rehabilitate them and reprogram them into thinking a different way and doing things differently. Have you ever felt recently that you was being challenged to think different? Amen. To do different? Amen. To be different? And if you wasn't, you were different? Come on, you can preach with me for just a little while. Amen. There are some tactics that Satan devised for Nebuchadnezzar that he's still using in our world today. And we will be surprised at times of who Satan uses and what he uses to accomplish his tactics to change our culture and our lives. Amen. So let's take it step by step. Verse 1 and verse 2, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with a part of the vessels of the house, and he carried them into the land of Shinar, Babylon, to the house of the gods, little g, and placed the vessels in the treasure of his house, his god, the little g. Now, just as Nebuchadnezzar invaded and captured and plundered Jerusalem, so has the devil came into your house to plunder your house, to reprogram your way of thinking. Satan takes what isn't his. And the things that God has given you, he takes your blessings, he takes your talents, he takes your health, he takes your kids, he takes your rights and your freedoms. Satan desires to change your identity. Hear me today, church. What have we experienced the last 2 years? You can't go to church, you can't sing a song, you have to wear a mask, you have to do that. Now, hang on. If you feel like you need to wear a mask, if you feel like you need to stay home, go ahead. But as a child of God, we need each other and we need that fellowship. And if we're not careful, yeah, go ahead. If we're not careful, our identity will be changed toward each other and especially toward God. There's four things in this passage of Scripture that Satan specifically tries to do to change the landscape and to change the culture of where we're at today. Verse number 3, and the Babylonians told as Ashpenazai, the master of the eunuchs, to bring in some of the children of Israel, both the royal family and the nobility. Can I tell you the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar tried to do through his eunuchs was to isolate. Satan wants to isolate you. The Bible plainly tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. He plainly tells us in his word to forsake not the assembling of yourself together in the manner of some is. So if we decide we're not going to do it, the government says I'll do it for them. So they try to bring wedges in to divide and to conquer. If we're divided, listen, we may not agree on everything, but we don't have to argue and fight and fuss about it. The devil tries to isolate. He tries to remove you from your environment. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? He tries to get you disconnected. He brings you into unfamiliar spaces. He brings you to strange surroundings to where you're confused of what's going on. He tries to get you to think differently. and to view things differently, to reprogram you to something different than how you really are and what your future and what the roots of your life is from. So He wants you to stay home. He wants you to disconnect. He wants you to be estranged from your fellow believer. He wants you to listen to all that junk on the news that's nothing but lies and filth and propaganda. To tell you that if you'll just listen, you'll be a better person tomorrow than you was yesterday if you'll just conform to this new way and new culture. I guess I'm just too old and too cantankerous to conform to this modern way. I'm here to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love the saint and the sinner. And I can tolerate the sinner that wants to repent and turn to God. But I cannot tolerate the blatant sin that wants to be shoved in our face and down our throats simply because we don't follow the culture of our society. I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us plainly in Romans chapter 1 that homosexuality, the LGBT, is a sin. And it is an abomination of God Almighty, which means it's that which He hates. But I'm here to tell you today that God loves the soul of that individual and desires for them to turn to the Creator and to seek Him with all of their hearts. And I'm behind Him 100%. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin, and He will not tolerate sin. But He will love you. He will love you into His redemption plan. So the world tries to isolate us. If we don't believe like the world, if we don't look like the new culture, if we don't act like the new culture, if we don't conform to the new culture, then we're the weird ones and we're the oddball ones. And so we are isolated from the rest. Well, if that's the way it's going to be, just isolate me. And I'll run to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from God. But I'm here to tell you that we need each other in these last days. I said, church, we need each other in these last days. We need to come together. And more as we see the day approaching. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it with all of my heart. In verse number 4, the youth, that's where I get teenagers, youth without blemish, well-favored, in appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, in discernment and understanding, apt to learn knowledge, competent to stand and serve in the king's palaces and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Not only are they working to bring isolation to you and I, they're trying their best in our public schools to indoctrinate our kids that all these things are socially acceptable. And if you're one of those old fashioned that homeschool your kids, or you send them to a Christian school, or you go to a Pentecostal church, and you're out of step, you're out of style. So they're doing their best to indoctrinate our kids. I'm here to tell you today, church, I believe with all of my heart in Black Lives Matter. But can I tell you today, white, red, yellow, black, and white, all of them fit the plan of God. And if the Black Lives Matter, so does every other color matters. Because God is God. He's still God, and He still looks to those. And it's not the color of the skin. It's the condition of the heart. It's the condition of the heart. They're doing their best to indoctrinate them with all kinds of garbage, trying to destroy our history and the founding of our fathers and what they base this country upon. They're trying to infiltrate our culture, change our language. That's not just the way we talk, but the way we think. Desiring to change the way we do things, forsaking the old ways and conforming to new ones. Forgetting our upbringing and the roots in our history. But I find in the Word of God that He said to seek and ask for the old paths, for they are the good way. The children of Israel said, we will not walk in them. But I believe today that God still got a people that said, God, will you give me the old paths? God, will you help me to walk in those old ways? God, help me that I might stand in the gap and make up the hedge in this hour that we're living. Come on, church, can somebody preach with me this morning? Indoctrination. Trying their best to destroy our roots and our history. Forgetting, wanting us to forget our upbringing. Listen, I'm appalled at the way that certain cultures was treated in days gone by. I am absolutely appalled by the things that transpired and the things that happened. But I am so glad today that I know Jesus Christ, and regardless of the color of our skin, He gives you freedom, and whom the Son set free, He is free indeed. I'm here to tell you today, it would absolutely thrill my heart if there was a house full of all different kinds of ethnics that would come to worship the Lord with me and give God praise and give God glory. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we need to reevaluate where we come from and our upbringing and what happened and what was going on. I don't know about you, but I seek for the old past. Some of you may not understand. Some of you may not have been there, but I know what it was like to see people touched by the power and the anointing and the glory of God. I know what it's like to stand in services hours upon end worshiping God and the power of God flowing. I know what it's like for the tears of joy to stream down your face. I know what it's like for God to touch us and give us a touch from the throne room of God and convict us of our sins and change us around. I know what it's like for God to give me a burden for a lost soul. Come on, church. We need to ask for the old paths. Indoctrination. Not only is our society and our world, just as Nebuchadnezzar tried to isolate and tried to indoctrinate, he also used the psychology of gratification. Verse 5 said, the king assigned unto them a daily portion of his own rich and dainty foods. I don't even like that part anyway. I like steak and baked taters. Hallelujah. Pot roast with all the potatoes and carrots and gravy you can deal with. I figured some of you really got on board with that one. His rich, dainty foods and wine which he drank, that they were to be so educated and so nourished for 3 years, and at the end of that time they might stand before the king. Therefore, he used the psychology of gratification. You can have my best food. You can have the best education. You can have the best there is to drink. Just give me Coca-Cola and I'll be all right. You can have the best teachers, leaders, and guides. And for 3 years, you can have my very best. And if you do that, who knows? You can stand before the king and you might be his next potentate to run around with. Look at what you can be. Look at what you can have. If you'll do it my way, you can be somebody. You'll know more, be more, and have the best food, home, and jobs. You'll work for the king and the government. You'll be an important person. Gratification. Be real easy for me to get ahead of myself right now, but I'll try my best not to. The world wants to gratify you in coming on their side, to adhere to what they got going on and to agree with their ideology. Verse number 6. Among those were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the chief of the eunuchs. I'm about ready to preach here, folks. You ready? Two or three of you, that's good enough for me. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel, he called him Belshazzar, king's attendant. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. The world desires to change your identity as well as your name. He don't even want you to be the same person. He wants you to cower down. If you don't like what I say, I'll throw you in jail and give you a number instead of a name. He tries to change your name and your identity. When the chief eunuch changed the names of Daniel and his three friends, the idea was to change their Jewish identity and their culture. In doing so, he would replace the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, putting the Babylonian gods in his place, in God's place, capital G, working on replacement theology, even worshiping creation more than the creator, having a form of church but no power and no anointing. We are smack dab church in a time where they're trying their best to change the culture of Judeo. I worked on that 100 times and it don't look nothing like it. It says Judeo Christian heritage. I'm going to slap the devil right upside the head and say it one more time. We are smack dab in a time that they are trying their best to change the culture of the Judeo. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. You think it's easy? Come where I'm standing. Judeo-Christian heritage, there we go, and faith. They are trying to replace all gods in place of the God. And you can rest assured, He will not be replaced. Joel chapter 2 verse 27, and ye shall know, understand, and realize that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is none else. My people shall never be put ashamed. Come on, somebody. I understand that he was talking to the children of Israel, but I want you to listen to me real closely. God has not replaced the Jews with the Christian church, but he has adopted us and grafted us in by his blood, that we are now heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, you missed the best opportunity to shout and say amen. Did you just hear what I said? That the world's working on replacement theology, and that's saying that Christ has forgotten the Jews and replacing it with the Christians. I'm here to tell you today that's a lie from the pits of hell. He has not replaced the Jews with the Christian church. I just got to say it again. If somebody don't stand and shout, you're dead from the roots. I'm telling you, but he has adopted us and grafted us in by his blood, that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we cannot allow the world to change our identity. And it's only through Christ Jesus that we are a new creature, identified with him through the newness of God's Spirit living in us as the royal blood flows through our veins. Glory. You say, Pastor, what in the world's got into you? Jesus. I come today, I told you, with a message that will invoke you enough to change where you are and what God wants you to be. Can I tell you, after those four things that Satan and Nebuchadnezzar tried to intimidate Daniel and his three friends with, I want you to know that there was a heart that had a heart for God. And here's where it changes. Here's where things get different. Verse 8, but Daniel determined. Somebody say determined. In his heart, that he would not defile himself by eating his portion of the king's riches and dainty foods, or by drink the wine that which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might allow himself not to defile those things with the king's portions. So the thing that Daniel stood on was determination. Hello? Are you determined? Are you determined? Or are you afraid if you're confronted with the wrong thing at the wrong time that you'll cower down and you'll conform to that? Daniel was determined. He said, are you ready? Are you ready, church? Somebody's looking at me. I don't know if I'm ready or not. You better get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Daniel said, I will not compromise my convictions. I have determined to dedicate, commit my life to God. No amount of pressure will allow me to change my relationship with God. Listen carefully. My commitment to God will not change regardless of the price of the consequences. Did somebody hear me? My commitment to God will not change regardless of the price of the consequences. Because my commitment is not shallow, nor is my dedication negotiable. I am sold out to the cause. My convictions are not based on the cost, but established on God's word. I surrender to my God, who has promised me a new home with streets that are pure gold, that foundations that are made of precious jewels, that has fruit trees in abundance and a crystal river running through it. But most of all, Jesus Christ will be the light of that city, and He Himself will outshine everything else. I'm here to tell you today, God. I'm here to tell you today, church, that God wants us to be determined before the fact. Verse 9. Now God made Daniel to find favor, compassion, and loving kindness with the chief of the eunuchs. If we'll do our part, God will do His. If we are determined, God will exalt us in due season, and He will accelerate the process in our life. And some of you are saying right now, God, please accelerate. This is killing me. Accelerate the process. Huh? How many is praying that? God, accelerate the process. I need you, Lord. I need you to step on the gas. Hello? Exaltation and acceleration. The action of elevating someone to a higher level of favor, rank, power, and character, and even expediting the process. Hello? He will even expedite the process. Can I tell you, because of Daniel's dedication and commitment, God gave him favor and brought about God's plan and for him and his three buddies' lives faster than even the king intended. I said, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the king said 3 years. Daniel 1 and 5, where the king assigned for them a daily portion of the rich and dainty foods and of wine to drink, and they were to be so educated and so nourished after 3 years, at the end of that time they might stand before the king. But God said, I'll give them 10 days. Daniel chapter 1 verse 15, at the end of 10 days I will see that they were looking better and had taken a more flesh than all the youths who had ate at the king's richest dainties. The world says 3 years. God said 10 days. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse number 6. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's in God's due time. It's in God's due time. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 says, "And for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding of all kinds. And he had visions and dreams." Now at the end of that time, which the king had set for the bringing, all the young men and the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king conversed with them, and among them all none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they were assigned to stand before the king. Verse 20. "And in all manner of wisdom and understanding concerning, which the king asked them, he found them 10 times better than all the learning magicians and enchanters who were in the whole realm." Can I tell you, God's favor is greater than man's favor. Listen. I want to tell you something, church. You know the reason that Daniel and his 3 friends was positive about the king's fiery furnace? Do you know the reason that Daniel didn't worry about snuggling up to the lions in the den? How many wants to know what it was all about? 2 or 3, that's still good enough for me. It's because Daniel and the 3 boys had predetermined a decision they had made to live for God and to stand their ground by being committed to the cause and dare to be different in the face, even if it meant extinction. Woo, glory! They dared to be different in a world of compromise. They had predetermined not to defile themselves with the world and all of its stuff. They was not going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to tarnish their body or their soul. I wonder how many in this building today has predetermined and made up your mind that your dedication and your commitment to God, that you refuse to allow the world to contaminate your mind, your body, and your spirit. You refuse to allow the world to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ, even in the face of being extinct. And guess what? One of these days, soon and very soon, Christians are going to be extinct out of this world.
Amen. Amen.
Daniel 3, verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, 'O king, it is not necessary for us to answer you at this point. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, O king, that we will not serve your God nor worship the golden image which you have set up.'" You see, it was the golden image that he was all enthralled with. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was enthralled with the king's streets of gold that he has preparing for them, that has promised that he would exalt them in due season. It was the promise that God had made them. It was the love that God had given them. Y'all are awful quiet today. You just listen. But are you being provoked to change? This is the decree that Nebuchadnezzar made. After seeing that there was and is no God like the God of Daniel and his 3 friends, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree, found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 29. "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speak..." You see, when we stay true to God, God will manifest it in such a way that people outside can't deny it. Nebuchadnezzar said, if there's any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. For there is no other God who can deliver in this way. Church, we got a right to rejoice and shout because there is no other God anywhere, any place, at any time that can deliver and can set you free and give you the love that only God can give you. I'm closing. Christian can become. I think I'm closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. It said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." See, we want to mingle with the world, but where, you know, we can fit in either place. God wants you to be different. He don't want you to fit in with the world. He wants you to come out from among them. "And be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I come by to tell you today I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm not going to bend, bow, or cater to the things of this world, because I know who God, in the God I trust, and the God I serve. Closing for the second time, that 2 Corinthians I read to you, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing." Listen, do you know why God asked us to come out from among the world? Not only are we to be different, we're to look different. We're to act different. We're not to act like the heathens of the world. We're not to act like the unbelievers. God had a purpose and God had a plan. God don't want you to be like the rest of the world. He wants you to be different. As His children, He wants you to be identified as His children. Set apart. Looking the part. Acting the part. Being Christian, not only in name, but in body, soul, and spirit. To look different, to act different, to talk different, even smell different. You don't need to smell like the world. You are His child, and He wants you to shine, not act like the rest of the world. So I ask you, ain't none of us in here want our kids to look and act like the outside world, do we? I should hope not. I pray not. But we want, in most cases, I know this gets very confusing. In most cases, especially, if not exclusively, we want our children to act like their Christian fathers. In looks, and in action. So I ask you today, church, don't bring a reproach upon your Heavenly Father. He said, "Let the world see your good works, that it might glorify your Father which is in heaven." So when you're down Parks, Walmart, Belts, or wherever you're at, let those around you see Jesus. Is that too complicated? Is that too hard to ask? Let them see Jesus. Teenagers, when you go to school, let them see Jesus in you. Don't act like the rest of them. Don't be smutty mouth, dirty jokes, looking at things you have no business looking at. Your eyes, as well as your body, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And regardless of the age, let's exalt our Heavenly Father and let's make Him proud. Would you stand with me all over the building today?